Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello, welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And today we are joined by Dr. Shari Marchbine. She's a board certified dermatologist who is an adult acne and cosmetic expert. She's also the clinical assistant professor of dermatology at NYU School of Medicine and just all around amazing dermatologist. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for coming.
You came recommended by like 100 different people.
Yeah. So that is the greatest compliment. Yeah. I'm being very serious.
And I hear like even Ashley, who's been on this podcast, told us you cleared her skin.
Oh.
Right?
Did you do that?
You just like, she had acne issues, right? And then yeah. You just like cleared it before her wedding within like a second, right?
Oh, that's not how I wish it were magic.
You had a wand.
Yeah, I'm like, I wish it were magic. It's honestly a lot of hard work on the behalf of the patient, truthfully, and a really good skincare routine that includes prescriptions. And
okay.
So everybody who comes in kind of gets their own individual. It's so obnoxious. I really write it down. And so I have to make sure my penmanship is very good because then I tell everybody to post it in their medicine cabinet. So everybody gets their own individualized skincare routine based on like what their skin looks like, what they need, because people have different combinations of acne and rosacea and all these other things. So everybody needs something different. There's no like cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. And so then everybody gets their own skincare routine. And then most of the battle is whether they do it or not.
I also have to say, for the listeners who can't see you, you have amazing skin.
But like, I have acne. You're so
there's
sweet.
There's no way. I'm looking for one blemish.
It's there.
One
honey,
wrinkle.
It's there.
Nothing.
Well, okay. Well, Botox does a body good, but
we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But
we'll get some of that.
But I have adult female acne, which is why I'm so passionate about treating it. And I use like 5 different things a day for it.
Wow.
And so what I tell everybody is, you know, like when we were watching the Super Bowl and J-Lo and it looking amazing, we're like, wow, we want to be 50 and looking like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen. It's hard work. And it's the same thing with skincare. You know, we can't expect that overnight our skin is going to look a certain way. These are things that take months and months and months. And then you have to keep up with it. It's like going to the gym or doing anything else where you want sort of a long lasting, durable result. But, you know, we want to start early. So anyway, I have acne. And my goal is that nobody should ever know that you have acne when you're on the right routine.
So if you're just for the audience, you guys, I can't even describe. The fact that you're saying that you have acne gives me so much hope for like how I can improve my skin.
Yes.
I always sort of feel like, oh, this is like what I got. Like,
nope.
We're good.
Nope.
So if you can make strides from acne to what you look like, that is incredible.
So
tell us how you did it.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say, I am not perfect. I am not blemish free and I don't have like no pores. It's just, you're sitting a table length away from me and I have makeup on. So we all have imperfections. We should not strive for perfection. And I think everybody needs to put down the magnifying mirror. Okay. So like stop staring at yourself so closely. Mm-hmm. We're not filters. Right? We're people and we all have imperfections and we need to like run with those and acknowledge that. But I don't think that anybody has to live with acne. So adult female acne is very hormonal. So I often treat it with a combination of anti-hormonal pills like spironolactone, which is a pill that you take every day. Birth control pills can be really helpful for it. And then I do a combination of creams. So like Retin-A, which is anti-aging and also great for acne. It makes your skin glow and builds collagen, is kind of the backbone of like an acne routine. But then so many of us have concerns about wrinkles and sunspots, so it treats that also. Mm-hmm. So I kind of do things that, you know, overlap.
What about like what the person eats?
Diet is definitely, speaking of diet starting tomorrow, diet is important, but when we actually look at and sort of break down the studies looking at diet and acne, there are a couple of foods that we know can contribute to it. There are some small studies that look at whey protein, so like a protein shake.
Contributes to clearing acne
or to worsening acne.
Worsening, okay.
Yes. So things that we know that can make it worse, so if you avoid these might make it better.
Okay.
Whey protein, which is in like protein shakes, protein powders, can contribute to acne. So I always talk to my patients, especially if they've got like a lot of chest and back acne, they might be taking, you know, protein shakes. So we always talk about that and eliminating that. And then dairy and carbs. So
the best.
The best. And I don't tell people to go dairy free or carb free because A, like you would be miserable. I'd be miserable. Yeah, I was a vegan for a day and I hated my life. So I'm like, I'd be super. By the way, I'm a vegetarian for like 28 years. Oh, wow. But veganism was just way too hard for even a day.
It's a lot.
It's intense. It's intense. So dairy-free skim milk, we've got some good evidence for that. If you're somebody who drinks a lot of skim milk, you might want to cut that out because that can contribute to making acne worse. But we don't have good evidence for other forms of milk. And then for the carbs, it's basically high sugar foods. So foods, breads, you know, basically like, you know, any high sugary, you know, cookies, cakes, things like that, that would spike up your blood sugar quickly can actually cause acne flares in some people. So it might be a good idea to, to sort of consider avoiding those as well.
Interesting. I do recognize that, like, when I eat, like, healthier, like, I'll still eat carbs, but, like whole wheat type of carbs, exactly. Anything like with fiber, like, my skin just clears up. Also drinking water.
Yeah.
But it completely clears. But then it also has to do when I am the on my pack of my on your birth control.
Time of the month, right.
It's interesting that the foods you're naming this morning, I was thinking about how just, like, I feel like I always have, like, a little bit of, like, a gut. Not like, I'm not calling myself like fat or anything, but it's more like, I always feel like I have like, just, it's always kind of sitting there, like, not like clear. I can't describe it. Like, the bottom of my stomach always feels like a little bit full.
Yeah.
And I realize that that's like more when I eat more carbs and dairy. Exactly. That's what gives me that feeling.
It's like a bloat almost that you're feeling.
It's like this permanent, just, it feels like there's something in there all the time. So it's interesting that those foods are the same that cause both of those things.
Right. That may contribute in somebody who's sensitive. So it's not for everybody. And don't tell everybody, hey, stop your dairy and stop carbs. But in somebody who maybe has a lot of those foods, or like if you have rosacea, which is more of a sensitive skin sort of breakout, alcohol can make them flare and break out. So we know that there are certain triggers that you want to avoid, and that can help. But for the most part, like, changing your diet alone is not going to clear your skin. So as you said, when you're on a certain part of your birth control pill, many women flare like mid-cycle when they ovulate, or right before, during, or after their period. So you may notice that that happens even if you're on a birth control pill still, or if you're not, and that's just sort of like a cyclical flare that you have.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Why don't we do the weirdest thing we do? Speaking of being perfect and not perfect.
Yeah. We want to get to know you more.
We want to get to know you more. So as we talked about before the show, we do this now with everyone. We just talk about like the weirdest thing that you do on a normal daily basis that you feel like.
It doesn't have to be daily. Just can be general.
Just like that you do.
Yeah.
What is it that you do?
I have been a nail polish picker forever. So I basically, if I go back in a week later and I still have polish on my nails, I think my manicurist is like shocked and feels something has happened to me.
I can relate beyond words. I'll pick off gel nail polish.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very damaging for your nails.
No, so I don't get regular gel.
Yeah. Right. Because you have to do something.
I just pick it off and it's more expensive.
It's just one of my habits that I sort of do. And I think it's probably a little nervous habit. And if I'm bored, I probably just sit there and do it.
Uh-huh.
So right now I'm sitting here and I have like half of my nails are polished and then half of them are picked off.
Get the rest later.
Is it not such a satisfying feeling when you get a full pick? Like the whole thing comes off, you're like a full thumb.
Yes.
The thumb is the hardest.
You can hold the square in your hand.
It's so funny. Amazing. This is like a, I feel like this that's is like amazing. A variation of trichotillomania that's like less bad.
Yeah.
Wait, what's is that?
It's when people pick their hair out.
Oh, I knew a girl who did that.
I think it's like a similar thing, pathway in the brain, just like less damaging.
Yeah. Unfortunately, one of my kids, I have 6-year-old twin boys, and one of them already is biting his nails. And I'm like, oh my God, he's taking after me because I'm like, I pick up my nail polish and he's already put it. So anyway, I have 6-year-olds who already have weird stuff that they're doing. So we'll see.
Normal.
We'll see if we can continue that.
Sammy, do you have anything weird that you did this week?
So this is a long time habit for me, and I think it's appropriate since this is a skincare episode. I'll do this thing. I don't do it every day, but where I'll like get really close to the mirror. I don't have a magnifying mirror, but I'll just like look in the mirror and sort of like squeeze my pores out and like just to like.
Squeeze them?
Yeah.
I think everybody, by the way, likes doing that. That, by the way, is what people call blackheads. So just so you know, those are not blackheads.
No, I know. I don't think I have blackheads, but I squeeze.
I get it. We call those little sebaceous filaments. Yes. The stuff that comes out of them.
Wait, what do you mean it's not a blackhead?
Okay. So blackheads are actually acne. Yeah. We'll just break it down. There's pores and there's blackheads. Blackheads are actually a form of acne called an open comedone. We're getting really specific here. But it's the same stuff that causes your other acne, bacteria, oil. cortisol, hormones, inflammation. The stuff on your nose or your chin that you can literally sit in front of a mirror and like, you know.
I just do my nose. Hopefully.
No, but you know what I'm talking about, because almost everybody does it. And people come in and they're like, I've got blackheads all over. I'm like, no, those are just your pores. And some people have bigger pores genetically. And some people have smaller pores. It's just like who you are. But those little pores are connected to an oil gland. So there's obviously a little bit of sebaceous filaments, what we call it, which is like a little mix of like the oil that comes out and a little bit of the dirt. And you could literally just like squeeze it. You see it coming out of the pore and it's so
satisfying.
It's so satisfying. But P.S. it's going to fill right back in.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's what people are trying to remove with those like pore strips.
When you get a facial, is it like what they're pulling out and it hurts so much?
Well, I don't know. That might be that they're trying to clear out if you do have blackheads, but it would be the same thing when people say, oh, my pores look better from a facial. It's the same sort of idea, but it's going to fill right back up because they're pores and they're supposed to be
there. But you know what I mean when it hurts so much when they take it out? My nose is so stiff.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're probably going after those, but I tell people just leave them, the pores. Literally the pores.
So stop doing what I'm doing.
Leave it. I mean, you
can. How do I get it out then?
Okay, well, here's the thing. That's where I usually use things like Retin-A or salicylic acid or other things to kind of help the appearance of them.
My goal is to come out of this with a skincare routine. So
Yeah. We're going to come see you.
I'd love to see you in my office.
Okay, that too. But this episode.
I'm coming.
Starting. Where's your office? Yes.
It's in Tribeca.
Okay, I'll come.
You're close.
Long close. It's really not close for me, but I'll still come.
Can I bring my dog? Close. You could totally bring your little dog.
Great. Okay. Sure. Fabulous. Aileen, what's your weird thing?
Oh, yes. I drink instant coffee.
Oh, yeah. So does Avi. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I just like it. I put in my like little sugar-free creamer and I just like sit in my couch and I just drink it before work for like 30 minutes. And then I come here. But like, I love that I can make my coffee. I don't want to use a machine. I don't fucking care about that. And it just like, I don't get Starbucks anymore. I just like make my coffee. That's but it's amazing. People are like, that's disgusting.
Do you do like a teaspoonful like, what is it? Sanka?
I get the, it's the yellow brand. It's like a Bustelo. It's like a, really, it's just instant coffee and it's definitely the bottom of the barrel, but I like it.
And that's what we had, like growing up, that's what we drank.
My
right?
mom always drank that. I was just like, that's what we drank.
All right. Avi does it too. He's like, why do you have to be such a coffee snob?
Yeah, exactly. I used to be a coffee snob.
I'm not a coffee snob.
And then I found myself like fucking jittering all the time. And I was like, let's reel
Starbucks
it in.
Starbucks is very intense. Yeah. I actually prefer Dunkin'. I know this is like I get Starbucks every day just because it's like on the way, but I actually think the Dunkin' is more pleasant. I don't know why.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you, I get coffee from literally the deli that's next to my office.
Deli coffee's the best.
I love deli coffee, but I cannot drink caffeine. So maybe this is a weird thing. I can't drink caffeine or I'll literally be shaking all day. So I'm a decaf person.
So speaking of coffee, though, how does that affect your skin? Caffeine, anything?
Well, if you have rosacea, not acne necessarily, but with rosacea, there's actually varying, which again, people who flush more easily, they get red, they've got very sensitive skin. There are some, right. So there are some sort of studies that show that caffeine can actually make it worse. And then there's some showing that it might actually make it better. So I think that we don't entirely know. And that, but there's no like hard and fast rule. So it's not like you should not drink coffee or you should not have caffeine. Yeah. Caffeine can actually constrict blood vessels. So you'll notice caffeine is in a lot of under eye creams and other creams that are trying to help with redness and soothe the skin because it can constrict blood vessels and make them appear smaller and less noticeable.
Interesting.
Yeah. So from a skincare perspective.
We're soaking it all in.
I know. I love it. You're like, note to self, get a caffeine eye cream.
Yeah. That's really funny. Just going back to like healing adult acne and all of that and all the products that you make like a recipe for people.
Literally a regimen.
Is there a way, is it hard to do? Like, is it expensive?
So another great question. Some of them are prescriptions and God, prescriptions have just gotten out of control, even generic prescriptions. So I try to work with whatever the insurance company allows me to prescribe. If there's a certain like medication I want and they won't cover that, there's maybe a generic that I could switch to. I often will use, pharmacies that I know can help with that as well. So specialty pharmacies. But yeah, some of the creams, the prescription creams can be a little bit pricey. Everything else though is over the counter. So it's like gentle cleansers and moisturizers with sunscreen and, creamy moisturizers at nighttime because a lot of people with acne are terrified to moisturize their face. They think if they moisturize, they're going to cause more acne and clog their pores. It's the opposite. If you get dry, if you over cleanse, if you don't moisturize, you're going to strip the skin of like the oils that are supposed to be there, and it tricks your skin into making more acne. So you have to do, you know, gentle cleansers, and you have to moisturize really well.
I have a question about kind of like, so we're sold like a ton of products. Just for the average person, not someone who comes to you and asks for a regimen and they have a specific problem they're trying to fix. I used, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I used to like be very into like, I did a serum and, you know, I did everything. But I actually, and then I kind of just was like, fuck it, this is annoying. And I stopped. And now I just like wash my face, occasionally put on moisturizer. Sometimes I'll use a sunscreen if it's summer. And I find that my skin has been just like fine. It's like, I don't really see a huge difference.
So we're probably over, you know, the skincare business is what, $300 billion or something. It's a huge, huge business. And you can definitely overdo it. I think that basically you need like 3 things in the morning and 3 things at night.
Ooh, so what are they?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. So if you don't have like problematic skin, right? If you are just like a run of the mill, you don't have acne, you don't have eczema, the 3 things that you need are a gentle cleanser.
Put pen to paper in unison.
Gentle cleanser. So gentle what's cleanser, a brand?
Gentle cleanser in the morning. There's a bunch of them. CeraVe, Cetaphil.
I grew up using Cetaphil all the time.
Neutrogena, Ultra Gentle. St. Ives makes a chamomile like gentle cleanser. There's so many, but you want to look for something that says gentle or ultra gentle. Micellar water. Like you can go as simple
as. You can use that for.
Yes.
I feel so weird after I put it on my face.
Why?
So,
What does it feel like? I love micellar water, but like you don't have to if you don't love it. But those are good examples of gentle cleansers.
Just feels like I just put something on my face. Like I always feel like that when I put toner on my face.
I kind of like the feeling of toner.
Yeah, but toner is usually putting something on your face. Yeah. That would make sense.
I thought it takes off the stuff off your face.
No, but the thing is now the newer toners can have things in them like various acids, hyaluronic acid, glycolic, so they're actually like treating the skin or soothing the skin.
All right, That's a whole other thing.
But so you need to wash your face with a gentle cleanser in the morning. Then everybody really should put on a vitamin C serum. So you need an antioxidant serum. When you go outside, we are being smacked with pollution, we have sun exposure, oxidative damage, I mean all this stuff.
And should that have SPF in it?
No, that's going to be our next step.
Okay.
So the vitamin C serum is one that literally protects your skin. It's like putting literally a vitamin and protective shield on your skin from going outside. So it eats up all these bad things that could damage your skin, cause breakdown of collagen, wrinkles, brown spots. So it makes it look healthier and more even and protects it.
Brands?
Okay. So some of my favorites, and again, it depends if you have acne or not. SkinCeuticals is a great company that makes vitamin C serums. There's a company called Skin Better. Over the counter, there are, again, great ones. CeraVe makes them. I'm trying to think. There's so many good ones.
Are there any that we should avoid? Have you heard of Image?
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, okay.
Are there any brands that you think should be avoided?
No, I wouldn't look at it that way. What I would say is this. Because we're talking about cosmeceuticals now, which are not FDA regulated, there's no good control over sort of the quality. So you really do want to look for a brand that has very good sort of scientific data and evidence behind it. They put the money in to test it to show that it's done what they're claiming it's going to do.
No, they all claim that.
No, that's part of talking to your dermatologist, right? Sort of knowing that. So vitamin C serums typically should have like a yellowish color to them. So it should be more like a light yellow. They have to be protected from the sun. So usually their bottles will be a dark color or opaque so that you can't get sun exposure and that they don't oxidize. If it turns like a dark brown, it's not working anymore. So most good vitamin C serums are like that yellowish color. Mm-hmm. And it really is, a lot of it is like talk to your derm about what they think is great. So the two that I started with, sort of the Skin Better, SkinCeuticals, there's another company, Isdin. Those are really good, like very high quality vitamin C's, but there are other great ones. L'Oreal now makes some great serums. I mean, Olay, there's so many good ones. So depending on your budget, because not everybody has a budget where they can spend $160 for a serum.
Yeah.
You may want to start with something over the counter and then, you know, you save up your money because you really only need to get one every 6 months. So you save up your money and then when you're ready, you maybe buy a different one and you see if you see a difference. And if you don't, you can go back to the one that's less expensive.
Okay. So what's the third thing?
Yeah. Okay. Third thing is sunscreen. So every day, I know you were saying that you only do it maybe in the summer. Every day of the year, 365, there are UVA and UVB rays coming through cloud. Yes, that's ultraviolet A and B, which causes skin cancer, wrinkles, sunspots, and all the other things that we don't want come through clouds. So it doesn't matter if it's you know, sunny or cloudy. It doesn't matter if it's snowing, raining, hot. None of that matters. Do not leave home without sunscreen. You need at least a 30 SPF that blocks 97% of the UV rays. And this is one of those things that I don't necessarily think you have to spend a ton of money on. That being said, and I'll give you some good ones that I like over the counter, but if you get one with a tint, it can then double as makeup. So if you're someone who doesn't want to wear, like you don't wear a lot of makeup.
None.
Right. So you could get something that has tint in it. And the tint has something called iron oxide. And iron oxide protects us from blue light. So blue light, we know, is in our phones, our computers, everything that we're looking at, that also can break down your collagen and cause brown spots. So wearing something tinted is actually a great idea also.
Do you like Supergoop?
Yeah, I do like Supergoop.
Okay.
I think that Supergoop is a good one. Neutrogena Healthy Defense is one that I've used forever. Olay makes one called Complete Defense. CeraVe makes one called CeraVe AM. There are so many. Pons makes one called Clarent B3, which has niacinamide in it.
So you don't actually need a moisturizer in the morning.
Those are moisturizers with sunscreen. So I combine it to take out one. I mean, I'm a busy mom and most of us like want to get out
of
the house.
So not just plain sunscreen.
You don't have to. Yeah.
They're all moisturizing. Yeah. Most sunscreens.
Well, no. If you want to find one that says moisturizer with SPF 30 plus.
Then what kind of moisturizer? Like, does it matter? Like what it is?
Any of the ones that I just mentioned. Okay. And like almost every company literally makes a good one that says moisturizer with sunscreen. Some people don't like that. I have some patients who want to do a separate moisturizer and then a separate sunscreen. It's just an extra step that I don't really want to do. So it can be really simple. Like, I'm not even getting into like neck and eye creams or anything like that. Really, everybody needs to wash their face, put on a vitamin C serum, and put on your sunscreen every morning. Three steps, get out the door.
Do we need under eye stuff in the morning?
No. So I do, but it is not one of those. This is one of those, like, if you have a couple of extra seconds and you want to do it, you can. Remember, I was talking to you about a lot of them have caffeine in them. A lot of them have something called niacinamide, which is vitamin B3 that helps with redness. Some of them have peptides to help you build collagen. And so eye creams are an added bonus for those of us who have a little bit extra time, but I would say expect modest results. If you have like a deep hollow under your eye that bothers you, you're a good candidate for something like a filler. You see your dermatologist for that. But eye creams they're not going to like take that away. So it will help there. I think there's modest benefit from them. They're nice to hydrate with. Truthfully, I love sleeping with something like Vaseline ointment on my eyes. So if you're just worried about having like dry eyelids, you can put an ointment on them at nighttime, Aquaphor, Vaseline, anything like
that.
Or just dry under. Yeah. But so you would put like your moisturizer with sunscreen on if you feel like you need more hydration.
Oh, okay, good. Because I usually don't put under eye stuff because everything I see is really just like temporary just to make you look brighter, but it doesn't actually do anything.
Right. So over time, remember how I said the vitamin C has different qualities and the under eye creams are the same way. And so, you know, there are tons of them out there. I think the majority of them have modest improvement. So you can just use your moisturizer with sunscreen.
Yeah.
And like at nighttime when we do anti-aging stuff like your retinoid, you could do that under there too. And then you get some anti-aging benefit.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
So let's talk about the nighttime routine.
Okay. Equally simple. So it's literally three steps. You have to wash your face. If you are only going to wash your face once a day, which by the way, I think you should wash twice a day. But if you're only going to wash once a day, you have to do it at nighttime. Think about what happens during the day. Yeah. Dirt, pollution, bacteria, smog, like all this.
You can see it on your pillowcases if you have a white pillowcase, correct. Which I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
So it just sits there. And what happens is if you do not rinse that off, you can get acne. It can clog your pores and it definitely contributes to wrinkles and sunspots.
Okay.
So you have to make sure that you wash your face before you go to bed. That is probably one of the most important things that you can do every day. And then after that, I recommend that almost everybody, and I do this as a part of an acne routine, but anti-aging, which I know we don't all love the word anti-aging now, but however you want to make your skin look better. So you want to make it brighter, less wrinkles, less brown spots. So you need a retinoid.
Retinoids. That's what I've heard is like
they the are one literally thing that gold standard.
I have something to ask.
Talk to me.
I have heard though there's lots of like retinoids, quote unquote, out there, retinols yes. out there that aren't like they have a percent of it in there and they're able to put that on their bottle, but it doesn't actually do anything because that's not strong enough.
So you are correct. Let's break that down again. Okay. This is one of those prescription strength versus over the counter.
Yeah.
And again, there are certain things to splurge on and certain things not to. Your cleanser, you don't splurge on. Your moisturizer with sunscreen, you don't need to splurge on. But retinoids, you probably should. So here's the thing. The over-the-counter ones really are not FDA regulated. So we're talking again about cosmeceuticals. And I would go for companies that have good science and data behind them. But those are retinol. So retinol is an inactivated form of vitamin A that when it hits your skin needs to convert with enzymes in your skin two steps to become activated. Okay?
Okay.
So when I give you a prescription, it's already activated. Okay. So what I'm giving you by prescription is far stronger because A, it's already active, and B, it's a prescription and we know it's FDA regulated and it's been tested to actually do these things that it's claiming to do. Whereas a lot of cosmeceuticals don't have that same claim. So we're talking over-the-counter retinol versus the prescription retinoids.
Got okay? it. Okay.
That so is right. a great clarification.
Yeah.
However, if you've got really sensitive skin, I think starting with an over-the-counter retinol is great. And the companies that I mentioned before that have the same good vitamin C serums also make very good retinol. So, you know, there are over-the-counter ones. There are ones that dermatologists tend to carry kind of in the office, which are probably slightly higher grade. But some of the over-the-counters have very good data with them, you know, as well. And then there's the prescription ones. I always like to get people on as high of a dose as they will tolerate. The problem with any vitamin A derivative retinol, is that they often will make you dry for about the first month that you're using them. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to tolerate a little bit of that dryness and peeling. And I always think about it like, great, it's turning over my skin. I'm going to look more. I'm like giving myself like a peel at home. You know what I mean?
I'm watching Sammy's eyes and she's like, listen. She's like, yes.
No, but yeah. Listen,
we're going to start now.
It's part of why, like when people ask me, you're at 42, your skin looks pretty amazing. Part of it is because really, I've been doing these things.
It really
for,
does.
You literally she's have the skin glowing of a goddess. Child.
Like I can't get over it. I'm like,
well, she's her own.
It's part of my business.
Yeah,
you it have is my to. Business.
No, I mean, yeah. But that is a good thank thing. You live your brand.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so important to do. It's also why I love when like people have acne when they're younger. I'm like, great, I can get you on a retinoid. Your skin's gonna look amazing forever because it's anti-aging. Plus, it helps treat acne. Plus, it just makes your skin, you know, pores smaller, and it makes like fine lines better, and that's it helps you with the discoloration. Right. So you need a retinoid. And again, if you have sensitive skin or it's the winter time and you're really dry, you can start with like an over-the-counter, and then as you maybe start even three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at night. Mm. And then as you tolerate it better, you can bump it up. I know, I really like.
We're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the key. That's
literally the key. In our heads, we're like, creating a life where we do this. Yeah, right? Like, yeah. You're like, I'm going to become skincare goddess. Like, that's what's happening in my head. I see it happening to you too.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the third step?
Okay, the third step is a moisturizer. So because retinoids make you dry, you need to moisturize. Like, okay. Everyone needs to moisturize.
What kind?
All right. Well, that's another great
because there's like night creams and they're so thick and like.
Well, remember, some of the night creams are going to have like a retinol in them. So be careful that you're not double dipping.
Oh.
Right? You have to read your ingredient. Don't double dip. You have to read your ingredients because some of the night ones will combine it together as opposed to having like a separate retinol. So you just have to be careful that you're not, because then your skin's going to get really irritated.
Yeah.
So when you're using a prescription retinoid, I like using heavier, like creamy moisturizers, but probably like my favorite, like light moisturizer are things like Neutrogena Hydro Boost, which is more of a hydrating booster. It's got hyaluronic acid in it.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about what that is.
Yes.
I already have it written out.
We're already discussing. Are you like, we need to get to them all?
I mean, I'm not kidding. I could talk about you. We could talk about skincare forever.
We haven't even touched Botox and fillers, which is like.
Okay, well, I might have to come back for a second.
So what's a heavy creamer?
So cream. Like the one that you would put in your coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
So something like CeraVe cream in a jar.
How do you spell that?
CeraVe cream.
Ah.
So I like things in jars. Vaseline makes some great heavier moisturizers. So again, you want to just look for, and I'm not talking about like an ointment that you're going to put on. I'm talking about like a moisturizing cream. La Roche-Posay makes something called Lipicar, which is really nice. These are all like nice. I actually post my medicine cabinet like on my Instagram.
Check it out.
So yeah. I'll usually put in there kind of the things that I like. If you don't need something heavy, you could literally do a hyaluronic acid, whether it's a serum. I use like SkinCeuticals make something called HA Intensifier, or L'Oreal makes some great hyaluronic acid serums. Just depends how much you need. I like something kind of thicker and heavier. So I tend to be a CeraVe person. Simple Skincare is another great one. And they make more of like a gel formula also.
Yeah, my mom has great skin. She's always had this like big ass bucket of Lancome, like the 72 hour. I don't even know what it is, but she's like, yeah, I've used that my whole life.
Right.
And I'm like,
You find one that you love and then you kind of just stick with it. Yeah. And a lot of it is texture. Some people like you and I like heavier. Yeah. Some people would hate if I told them to put that on their skin. So it's just a matter of what you like and how you like the texture to feel.
I have a question about the brands.
Talk
because
to me.
It feels like there are so many brands out there. It's so hard to tell like what's good, what claims are legitimate. And like you just said, okay, your mom used Lancome her whole life. My grandmother had amazing skin. She was like obsessed with Erno Laszlo. Like, does it matter like which brand you're loyal to? How do you know which are making like weird claims? Like, I just don't get how you can really know.
I think that is part of right now, everybody can kind of be an expert, right? And it is a good idea to go see your dermatologist and say, can we talk about a skincare routine and what you think is best for my skin? There's nothing wrong with sitting down and having a 15 or 20 minute appointment, talking after having a dermatologist examine your skin and giving you some suggestions of what they would love and what they think would be good for your skin, because everyone's skin is different and you really just don't know. That's when someone's in my office, I literally give them multiple examples of what they can use. And I usually start by saying, well, what are you already using? And if they love it, I'll say, okay, stay with that because you love it and I don't need to change it. But sometimes they're not doing, like, you're not doing a moisturizer with sunscreen. We have to add that in. But my God, you can go to your local kind of drugstore and there's a ton of them. So look for oil-free, look for non-comedogenic, which means it won't clog your pores. Look for at least a 30 SPF and then you just have to kind of try things out and see what you like.
Like, one of the reasons I did stop kind of like having a strong skincare regimen is because I stopped believing all these claims from these companies that like they would actually do anything. What about when it comes to like the really expensive brands like La Mer and like those things? Are those worth it?
So I'm somebody who, I love drugstore beauty. So I'm a big fan of like what I'll call high low, which is knowing where to splurge and knowing where to save. And I think things that you leave on your skin, with the exception potentially being moisturizer, things that you leave on your skin, so your retinoid and your vitamin C, it's often worth splurging on those. Okay. Those are things that we want to have actively. We're circling the paper.
We're literally making stars in the paper. Okay. We need to like take pictures of these papers so that people can know what we're talking about.
I'll write it down for you after.
Okay.
I'll come to your office. Separate issue.
But those are things that you might want to splurge on, right? Those are things that might either be prescription or you're going to spend a little bit more money on because it's companies that have done a lot of testing. Things that I do not think that you should splurge on, like your gentle cleansers. My God, you're washing those off. There are a million great ones over the counter. Find one that you love and run with it. Moisturizer with sunscreen. You do not have to spend a fortune on that. You know what I mean? You can get great ones over the counter. And I think your nighttime moisturizer too. This is also, you know, luxury versus non. And do I think that you need to spend hundreds of dollars on like a night cream? No, I don't.
So La Mer, no.
I've never used it.
Okay, well, that's proof enough for me.
I have another question.
We're talking about luxury skincare, right?
So, but if you is it bullshit? Is my question.
Do I think that it does anything? No.
Okay, that's great.
I love the solid answer.
Same.
But like, we got a real. It doesn't.
But
do
but I think if like you love how it feels on your skin, go for
it. I don't
it.
Use it. Like, I've never touched.
Do you need to drive a Rolls Royce or can you drive, you know, your Nissan? It's
right.
They're
so
both
you're kind of
get you where you want
to
go.
It's a luxury
it's
thing.
It's a luxury
to have.
Item.
Okay, I have a question.
It's a waste of a luxury item.
Say I come to you. Somebody comes to you at the life stage you're in now, right? Or I'm in now. And you say, like, I want to have this. I want to have just, like, a skincare yeah. routine for the rest of my life. Are there certain things, I'm sure, like, maybe pregnancy or things like yes. that, like, will change that where yes. you'd have to adjust?
Yeah. So, like, things that we stop during pregnancy would be, like, your retinoid.
You stop that yes, during pregnancy.
Correct.
Okay, that's good to
but
know.
But your vitamin C serum we can keep up with. Your sunscreen, of course, we keep up with. So there are some newer ingredients now that we can use that are anti-aging while you're pregnant. And one of them is called bakuchiol. And bakuchiol, this is why I love, you know, sort of K-beauty is and also like skincare because it's always evolving. So bakuchiol is one of these like newer ingredients that probably, I don't know, we've been talking about for 2 years now.
Can you spell that? No yeah. one's going to be able to Google. Yeah, that if you don't spell it.
B-A-K-U. I feel like I'm out of spelling bee. B-A-K-U-C-H-I-O-L.
I-O-L, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a K-beauty thing.
Yeah.
Is K-beauty like the worth the hype?
I think that certain things from K-beauty, absolutely.
If you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. Do I think that you need like a 7-step morning and evening routine? No, I just told you the 3 steps.
I don't
think
need the snail serum.
I don't, but I think that there is some evidence for it. So, you know, but I don't use it, but I think there's some evidence.
But then once you're, but my question really is like, will your skin change after pregnancy? Like that you yes. need to change up your routine yes. from pre.
Correct. So look, I've been pregnant once and I had 2 children as a result of it.
Congrats.
Efficient.
Thanks.
Efficient.
So, I know. Exactly. So, you know, skin changes no matter what. As yeah. we're aging from literally mid-20s onward, we lose a significant amount of collagen kind of every decade. The skin turns over more slowly. That's why if you look back at like your pictures when you were 20 and you had like full cheeks and like no wrinkles and then
baby
now
face.
Now I look at myself at 42. I'm like, God, I wish I had that like fullness back and all that stuff. It just, it changes. We start falling, we start sagging. And when we're pregnant, we're often afraid to use things. So we kind of let our skincare routine go. And I see this with my patients all the time. Sometimes acne can flare during pregnancy. We're not using like our anti-aging. So I will obviously get patients on as good of a routine as I can while they're pregnant. We can treat breakouts with things that we know are safe during pregnancy, which there are a few prescriptions that we can use. Mm-hmm. And then after they're pregnant, we kind of get them like back on everything, back right? on. You know, back on your retinoid and, you know, we restart, you know, Botox and fillers and all those other things. We restart your lasers, things that we had kind of laid off for 2 years. So I will just say that I don't think that, you know, pregnancy and then if you're going to nurse or whatever you're going to do, that you don't have to lose that ground. You can get right back into it. You see your dermatologist. I see so many of my pregnant patients right afterwards and they're like ready because they've kind of been neglecting themselves for
right.
a year and a half. And I don't, you know, that's not something that I take lightly because as women, it's very important that we take the time to take care of ourselves. Yeah. We're always taking care of other people. So I think it's really important to say, do not feel guilty for being here. Do not feel guilty for like wanting to take care of yourself and literally look as good as you can look, but still looking like you.
Also, women aren't really allowed to age in society.
Right. So God forbid.
So like just take it as an investment. Yeah. In yourself.
Right.
Speaking of like anti-aging and all that stuff, what are your thoughts like on facials? What's necessary? What's not? What kind of facial?
So how long before your wedding should you get one?
I was literally just, I don't know why, I was thinking about facials this morning, like in the shower. And it's really, I do some of my best thinking there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I may have gotten one facial in my entire life. I think that that's another one of those great luxury things that, it's great to spend time pampering yourself. Now, if you have sensitive skin or if you're on an acne routine, stop picking yourself.
Oh my gosh.
Yell at you across the table. Stop touching your face. Yeah. Stop touching your face.
I feel a thing and I'm like, what I got to go to
nope,
figure out
do
what
it.
That is.
Don't do it now while we're here.
Yeah.
So you do it after I leave. You do it. If I were sitting closer to you, I would have like tapped your hand or done something. But so if you're somebody who has sensitive skin, or if like I have you on an acne routine, you have to let the person doing your face, you have to let your esthetician know that, because there's certain things that they're not going to want to use. If you're using Retin A, you should not have like acids put on your skin during the facial, right? It might make you too sensitive. Also, if you're acne prone, you don't want to have anything put on your face that could clog your pores. Because I do see a lot of people break out after facials. I also recommend not having somebody like pick at your skin. So if you want to go or try to pop things, because again, that can make you break out. So if you want to go because you love it and you feel like your skin looks more, you know, hydrated or glowing afterwards, that's fine. But I don't think that it's something that you absolutely have to do. And I wouldn't do that and forego these other things that we know actually have very good data, right? Like don't do a facial, but you're not using your vitamin C and your retinoids.
So it really comes down to like the consistency of like kind of a simple,
always
clear routine that works for you on a like ongoing basis is what's going
to
really help.
And also knowing what you use, so that if you do decide to go get a facial, you need to like inform them, because anytime I've gone, they're like, what do you use? I'm like,
right, exactly. Yeah, and they want to know because they don't want to put something on your skin, rightfully so, that could irritate it or cause more breakout. So it's very important to kind of know. Again, that's where I think like dermatologists often come hand in hand. And I would not recommend ever, you said something about a wedding, don't ever change up your skincare routine right before your wedding. That is a huge no-no. That's one of those things. I work with people for like almost a year before their wedding to get them where they want to be. We'll discuss.
What if you don't have a skincare routine?
Right. Yeah. So you could start things, but like you're not going to start a retinoid a month before you get married, because I'm going to make you peel for a month, right? I never do someone's Botox right before they're getting married, because guess what? If you don't like it, now you're stuck with my Botox for 3 months.
I got to come like now then.
Basically.
Okay.
When are you getting married?
Like 2.5 months.
That's like, oh my God, literally.
Really?
I know.
Soon.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Like, that would be the least amount
of
time.
I'll come tomorrow.
Fine. I'll
see
you then.
Okay, great. something that I see people doing a lot, obviously, on Instagram, sheet masks. What are they? What's the deal?
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm sure you guys saw there was just like a big, big hoopla about some teenagers had some really adverse reactions to a certain company.
I didn't either.
A more clean brand, their sheet masks.
I
don't want to
say. I mean, it's just something Googleable. It's a news Googleable item.
And by the way, I'm not saying that the masks are bad. There was just a reaction to this one. So it was a Yes 2 had like a unicorn mask that had citric acid and some other things in it. And they were having like a burning, like a redness and a burning afterwards. So here's what I have to say about sheet masks. Number one, again, these are not like FDA regulated. You have to know what's in them. You are putting it on your face and it's staying on there for 10 minutes. So it's literally almost... it's like extra strong, right? It's sort of sealing it in. So I do sheet masks that are like hydrating and soothing, as opposed to like, you have to be very careful what's in there, right? You can look for things like hyaluronic acid or, you know, oatmeal or aloe or, you know, other things that would be kind of very like soothing and hydrating. Maybe something that has some antioxidants in it and anti-pollutants, just to leave like a little, you know, extra kind of protective film on the face. I think that they're a great way to pamper yourself for 10 minutes. Again, it's something that you can do that's like an extra added fun thing for your routine. But should they substitute for something else? No. But it's a great way for us to stop and you're drinking your coffee and you can put a sheet mask on. Mm. I actually do them while I'm traveling. Like if I'm on a plane, I kind of love them. I'll do like a hydrating eye mask. St. Ives has these amazing, again, this is like you don't have to spend a fortune on these. St. Ives has these great hydrogel masks and they go right under the eye. They're clear. I've done them on so many flights and I have to tell you, people love them. Like they kind of see that I'm doing them and then they're interested. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm taking care of my skin while I'm flying. Yeah. You know, I wipe off with like my Meisler water wipes and then I'll do like treatments on the plane and it's fun. And then you arrive wherever you are and you're still hydrated and very refreshed.
I do my best skincare on the plane, actually.
Yes, right? You're like, well, I have a couple hours to kill. Let me like pamper myself. So
there's also an interesting aspect of the sheet mask that my therapist actually told me. She said that when you put cold things on your face, you're actually activating like your dive reflex, which I think somehow reduces like stress because it, I don't know.
I think it is a de-stressing and I actually keep mine in the fridge, but certain ones like the hydrogel ones often stay cold even if they're not refrigerated. But I love that feel and like I'll even do that while I'm like giving my kids a bath, or you can literally do them anywhere depending on, and it's 10 minutes and then you take it off.
So besides the under eye St. Ives, what do you use for like sheet masks?
I use Simple and St. Ives are my two favorite because they've got great just like hydrogel masks that I love the feel of.
Okay.
I love and it. Again, you you don't have to like spend a fortune on that stuff. I've got really expensive ones that I put on people, my patients, after I do laser in the office. I don't actually have those at home, and I don't use those myself.
I love that you're recommending like accessible, like economical brands.
That's what it is. You have to, again, I think skincare is high low. And if I tell everybody to go spend $200 on something, when truthfully, I don't think that there's a good basis for it, you're not going to be able to do it. Skincare should be accessible. It should not be scary. These three key steps that we talked about, morning and evening, anybody can do them. You can all do them. You don't have to be overwhelmed by like a 10-step routine.
So what were you saying about
hyaluronic acid for Eva LaForia? We're doing hype. That. Okay, so here's the hype, and I actually love HA, hyaluronic acid. So hyaluronic acid is a sugar that is found in our skin naturally, and it goes hand in hand with like collagen and elastin. It holds up to 1,000 times its weight in water. So it basically plumps and hydrates the skin. It's often when you hear about things like, my skin is dehydrated. It's not dry skin, which is usually like a skin barrier issue where you need things like ceramides and other things. It's literally you need moisture, and hyaluronic acid helps to do that. Our fillers, the majority of fillers that I use to fill the under eye area or the smile lines or the lips or the cheeks are hyaluronic acid fillers. Mm. So these are fillers that work primarily by plumping the skin and attracting water to the filler that's there. So I can inject a teeny little amount, but it gives you a lot of bang.
I have like the a serum, like one with a eyedropper, whatever that's called. Do you use that before moisturizer?
Yes. So hyaluronic acid serums, which I use one in the wintertime as well. I agree. Mm-hmm. I think that there are some great ones out there. Are great as like a boosting serum. So I'll do that over my vitamin C serum, but under my moisturizer with sunscreen.
So daytime, not nighttime?
You could do it at nighttime also. I like it. You could do it
between steps 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Guys, as many of you know, I've been on an alcohol-free journey. Please don't hold it against me that I just said journey, but I have. And one thing that I've really missed on this journey is beer. But now with Athletic Brewing, I'm able to get that delicious beer-like taste in my mouth without any of the alcohol. It's amazing. Just so you guys know, I used to love sours. I'm a big sour drinker, and I really miss that taste. And now I don't have to miss out on it. It's amazing. Whether you're trying to cut back or you just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is often a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet fruity sours? Now you can enjoy this style without the hangover the next day. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic brews bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code DST to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's code DST at checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer, exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
You mentioned collagen. Does topical collagen work?
Such a great question. I actually did a New York Times article about oral collagen.
Yeah.
I think that there is some data for topical peptides. So peptides are the proteins that make up collagen. And again, you have to be very careful about the brands that you're using and selecting here. But there is some good data that peptides, when actually done well in a cream or serum, can help boost collagen. And again, we do it like in addition to the other things. So it's supporting the other things that we're doing. You're using your retin-A, which is building collagen. It's really nice to use a peptide serum. So I actually use a peptide eye serum, and I use a peptide serum for my neck and my chest, because we forget about our neck and our chest a lot.
Yeah.
And then that ages, and then your face looks amazing. So I think that peptide serums, there's some good evidence for. Oral collagen, I do not. So collagen powders or supplements, there just is not good evidence for it, which is exactly what I told the New York Times. And there just isn't.
And like, now she's telling us.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you guys too, which is there isn't. And I'm sorry, because whoever makes oral collagen is not going to want to ever hire me for anything, which is okay. But you take it, it gets digested in your stomach, and I'm not sure how much of it actually makes it. Like, just scientifically, it doesn't make sense.
But what about, like, I know if topical peptides work, what about topical collagen, like a specific collagen
Probably cream. Not because it may be too large to actually penetrate the skin. The peptides are small, and so the whole idea is that they may be able to penetrate and form new collagen. Topical collagen itself probably doesn't do much.
All right. I think that we talked we answered a lot because we have a whole listener question segment, but we covered a lot of them, but there are a couple that stand out. I think there's three, and I want to, so one is about Botox and fillers, one is about acne scars, and one is about like tiny little annoying pimples.
Yeah.
Okay, and one more, which Sammy just submitted in real time, which is makeup and how it affects the skin.
Okay.
So we know that those are the fourth areas we want to cover.
Okay, should we start with Botox and filler? Because we haven't.
Let's do it.
Okay, was there a specific question? Or
no.
Just tell us about it.
It's like, how does that affect your skin?
Okay, so here's the way that I think about sort of cosmetic work. Number one, a lot of people are very afraid of it because we see people who look like really bizarre. I, by the way, have both Botox and filler. I did my own filler last night. So don't even.
Wow.
I know. I do. And I did my own Botox like last week.
You are so lucky.
I know.
I'm also maybe a little bit, you know, after doing it for 16 years, I'm like, well, I think I could actually do that myself.
Was this your first time?
No, my own filler last night was my first time. I've been doing my own Botox for a little while now.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did. Thank you. Yeah. I did my jawline last night.
That's great.
Do my jawline tomorrow.
You can't.
I didn't bruise myself somehow. So anyway. You don't want to have it overdone. You really want to, whoever's doing your injections, I think it's a good idea if you really love how they look. And right now what's happening is everybody is claiming to be like an expert injector. Do not go to somebody just because they have a million followers on Instagram. We're seeing a trend towards very weird stuff. Gigantic lips, overfilled jawlines that are like just super square and weird. This crazy like cat eye thing that we're seeing now. It is weird. Nobody should be looking like everybody else. Like you should support your uniqueness, your beautiful individual features. And that's the idea of finding a really good like board certified dermatologist to do your injections. And you want to love the way that person looks also. So you want to really look like you, just more refreshed. When you start, so I started doing Botox on myself, what I like to call micro Botox, at age 27. So I started seeing some fine lines. I noticed that my brows and my lids were getting a little bit heavy and dropping. And so I wanted to help that. And over the years, of course, I have finessed it because I'm now in a totally two decades later, how things kind of go. So when you start seeing fine lines, when you are not moving and you have a little fine line on your forehead or your crow's feet, or like when you make that little wrinkle, when you make your frown line, you have that little 11 or the one, you are due for Botox.
I'm due. So, fuck.
It's okay.
I have this thing so bad.
It's not too late. Believe it or not, it's actually amazing because I take pre-pictures of everybody. When you do consistent Botox, just like keeping up with your skincare routine consistently, those lines can actually go away completely within a couple of treatments. So a year later, you could look 5 or 10 years younger just based on having your eyes more open, softening the lines. Botox gives almost like a poreless appearance to the skin. So can help with that. Part of why you're saying like it looks like you have no pores. I think that Botox and retinol
like
kind of help with that.
It's a marble.
Honey, it's
will
Botox.
A patient like, sorry, no?
All the time. Okay. Literally all the time. I also have a lot of patients who want one thing, but really what they need is another. So I always start off by doing a cosmetic consultation where literally they hold the mirror. I ask them what's bothering them. And then I'm looking at them talking and you know, moving how they normally would. And then I take a good look and say, okay, look, I know that you want to treat your forehead lines, but actually your forehead is large compared to the rest of your face. Your brows and lids are very low. We need to open those up. So my job is to kind of point out unique anatomy, how we can make that better and how to best support things. Because if I just do cookie cutter Botox, you're going to look awful, right? You want to have amazing Botox where like nobody knows that you're doing it. You can still move your face. You can still make emotions. I love it when someone's like, my husband didn't even know. Exactly. He shouldn't know unless you want to tell him. Nobody should know. But people might say something like, wow, what did you do? Did you get your hair colored? Are you doing different makeup? Like you just look more refreshed.
Yeah.
So that to me is Botox. I turn people away who don't need it. And then my goal is to try to direct them to what they actually do need. And if we don't align, that's also a time where I'll say, look, I don't think I'm the right person for you because I don't think it's going to give you the look that you're going for. And I won't be happy with that either, you know?
Right.
So it has to be, but it should be soft and subtle and very natural.
Right.
Is that the same with fillers?
100%. Like
fillers, even more so.
How do you prevent filler face?
More so. I mean, that's it. You have to go to somebody who knows what they're doing. You know what I mean? And that's why I really say, like, finding a board certified dermatologist is so important, because you could take a weekend course and be injecting people's faces the next day.
Yeah,
that's crazy. As a non-physician, and it's rampant and it's all over. And you may pay a little bit less, but I would say you kind of, you know, get what you pay for sometimes. So you have to be very, you know, subtle with filler. I often start, this is like a building process. So we'll do a little bit, and then maybe I see you back a couple months later and we add a little bit more and we just make little tweaks as we go. You should not look like a different person. I don't want to erase your lines. I don't feel myself in my smile lines. I don't feel myself under my eyes. We are, you know, we are people. We need to move. We need to have some wrinkles. Like, yeah, this is normal. When you look too tight and overdone, everybody knows, and it's a really bad look.
And do also you do the,
yeah, and also people see themselves like through their phone camera. Like, they don't really, correct, see themselves in real life 360. Right. Like, they, that's, see, right, this, yeah, filter that they want to look, right, like.
You're seeing a filter, and you're seeing everybody else's filter.
A filtered person in real life looks like
terrible.
Crazy person. Right. No, just like crazy.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Do you do the non-surgical rhinoplasty?
So I don't do that. I'm going to tell you why. That is actually a very high risk procedure. So especially if you've had other rhinoplasties done before. I mean, welcome to my world. And yeah.
Yeah, several. Right.
So if you've had them done before, it changes your anatomy. Your blood vessels are in a different place. But everybody can have kind of altered anatomy. So it's a riskier procedure. The blood vessels on the nose connect back with the eye and the brain, and so you can risk blind. I can risk blinding somebody no matter what area of the face I'm injecting, believe it or not. Again, it's why you really need to go to an expert who does this all the time.
Yeah,
but there are certain areas that are riskier, and the nose is one of them. So just for me, I don't do that, but I think that there are some really, really talented dermatologists and plastic surgeons who are doing it, and whenever somebody asks me, I sort of send them there.
You just maybe saved me like $3,000.
No, but it's just a plastic surgeon that you were considering, yeah, going, no, to.
Yeah, I would go to a plastic surgeon, but like, you could still have risks.
Yeah, things. But that's with anything.
Always risks. Yeah,
like, there's,
yeah,
always going to be risks. You go to plastic surgery and you get surgery. There's, that's right, risky.
There's always risks.
Yeah,
there's always risks.
Done, all right, that a, let's, times, talk about acne scars. We had a lot, okay, of questions about that. So, okay, the scars after, how do you get rid of them?
Okay, so scars and hyperpigmentation are different. I'm going to assume that most people are talking about hyperpigmentation when, what's, they wrote that? That. So, you know when you get a pimple and it leaves you with a brown spot?
Yeah.
So if you're lighter color, if you're very fair, like I am very, I'm almost like see-through, I turn kind of pink or red. If you have more pigment, your skin of color, you're going to have more of a brown spot. People refer to those as scars, but they are not. We call them post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. It's literally the darkness on your skin left after acne clears. And that can happen with anything. You could have a rash and get hyperpigmentation, a bug bite. That happens just as a response from our skin. So the way that we deal with that is twofold. Number one, treating your acne. I always tell people the best way is, if I treat your acne, you're not getting hyperpigmented anymore. And even if these were true scars, and again, I'm going to assume we're talking about the dark spots, true scars, the same thing, that is damage, permanent damage to your collagen. We want to treat your acne aggressively so that you're not getting more of that. So my goal is, I always say to people, you got to put out the fire before you paint the house. You need to shut down the acne quickly, within like 3 months if we can, get you clear. Then you're not forming any new brown spots or scars. And then we can sort of work cosmetically on that. In my office, that's when I initially start using vitamin C serums or lightening creams. So we could use a prescription bleaching cream, something called hydroquinone. There are other lightening agents, kojic acid, niacinamide, licorice, tranexamic acid. There's a ton, soy. There's a lot of other ingredients that help lighten the skin. So I'll often use a serum for my patients with that contains some of those ingredients in the morning, a vitamin C serum in the morning. And then, believe it or not, retin-A at nighttime helps, because it turns over the skin more quickly and can help brighten the skin. So those things, and then sunscreen. So sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen. If you go outside and you get any color, those dark spots get darker. So you want to sun protect, use lightening agents, and use a retinoid.
Let's say you haven't been as like up on the sunscreen as you should have been, yes, in the past.
Uh-huh. It's never too late, get, honey. It's never too late.
She's not speaking. She's talking for asking for a friend.
No, I think a lot of people, yeah, like, no, I don't, yeah,
use it that much.
Can you get rid of sunspots or like sun damage? Can you reverse it?
Yeah, that's a lot of work and a lot of money, truthfully.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's why I always tell people sunscreen is always number one. Like, even my children go out in hats and sunscreen. We don't go, like, we don't leave home, yeah, without them.
I've like given up on the sun. Like, it's, I don't even get tan anyway.
Yeah, and you're very, so fair, dumb. You're like me. I mean, you're, yeah, also very fair, so you're gonna burn rather than tan anyway. But tanning, she is, does, just as bad. There's no, tanning is, does, just as bad. There's no like benefit to tanning versus burning. They are equally bad for you, so just don't do them. But the brown spots that you have, so things like glycolic acid, lactic acid, right? So we do chemical peels can help, or now there's some really great peel pads that you can get over the counter. These lightening agents that I'm talking about, you know, soy, licorice, kojic acid, tranexamic acid. And then I do lasers in my office to help get rid of them. So there's a lot of great lasers. There's some like no downtime lasers. Something called Clear and Brilliant is one of my favorite. So it's a fractionated laser. I'm literally putting tiny little holes in the skin, but then it helps get rid of the brown spot over a few treatments. And I always recommend a great vitamin C serum afterwards and then in the morning because it helps that process along. There are stronger lasers that can literally take off the top layer of the skin, but you're young. And I think for a lot of young people, we don't want downtime. So doing kind of a lower energy laser, IPL is another, you know, great laser that you can use. So there's so many good ones that can kind of do that.
I have a question. I know earlier we talked about like a whole like kind of generalized routine.
Yes.
For like normal, like not skin without any like scarring or anything like right. that. Or if you don't have, if you have rosacea, what about like different types of ethnicities or race? Like if you're African-American or Asian, like what, is it the same? Do they, is it the same or yeah. do you have a different type of
no,
routine?
No, that's a really great question. And I would say that the ideas are the same, but the products might change. So if you have more pigment, if you are skin of color, you're going to hyperpigment much, much worse than I would. So we maybe some of the treatments focus more on hyperpigmentation. Deep moisturizing is really important. Sun protection is still very important, except, you know, certain sunscreens are going to look more like a blue-gray color if you've got yeah. more melanin in your skin. So using a tinted sunscreen would be really important if you're somebody who has a darker complexion, because then you'll be able to actually wear it and it won't make you look like blue or
right. So if you're violet. More likely to be hyperpigmented, which product is that affecting?
So I would, like, you're still going to need your vitamin C serum. That's probably somebody who'd be more prone to using sort of brightening agents, not a bleaching cream, but brightening agents. And then you would still use a retinoid at night. But let's say that you're sensitive skin. I would start an over-the-counter. If you have acne, yeah. there was just a study that came out that showed that, and I think it was in JAMA Dermatology. It's in one of like our big journals. Basically shows that skin of color, patients who are skin of color, are less likely to be treated aggressively for their acne. I don't know why that is, because I actually am the opposite. When I see somebody who's hyperpigmenting badly in my office, I'm like, all right, we've got to get on this immediately. So yeah. I'm actually more aggressive. I was shocked by the numbers. But it does seem as though if you are skin of color, although you may be more likely to seek out the help of a dermatologist because you're bothered by your hyperpigmentation, they're less likely to actually be treated aggressively. And that is a big mistake. That's something that as dermatologists we need to be working on as a group if that's what's going on. So I don't find that in my office, but potentially, you know, worldwide that may be going on.
Do you think that's, I mean, I feel like when you explain that trend, what I kind of analogize that to in my head is how like people who are overweight also don't get like as much treatment and care as people who are yeah. who are like a normal yeah. quote unquote normal yeah. normal weight. So I mean, I do think that it is something to think about, that there are like inherent biases in the way doctors are treating different populations. Yeah, so I think that's kind of like
the thing is issue. Right, and there shouldn't be, because we actually get a lot of education. I mean, I'm at Bellevue. We take all comers, obviously. You can come to this country the day before and we will see you and provide excellent medical care. So our curriculum, the curriculum in dermatology, is really broad and we get a ton of training on all different skin colors. And so that really shouldn't be the case. I think it's more of finding somebody who is really comfortable treating acne. You know, like I don't treat a lot of psoriasis because I'm an acne expert. So if you've got bad psoriasis, I'm not your person. So I would just say, if you have an issue with your skin, try and find the dermatologist who you know focuses in that area. And there are some who treat everything, and that's amazing. But there are others of us who kind of specialize. And so you may want to find somebody who specializes and is comfortable being aggressive quickly.
Mm. Great. Last question before we go to non-scale wins.
Two questions. Oh. There was the makeup and the annoying pimples. Because everybody pimples. Gets annoying yeah. pimples.
Okay, let's do annoying, tiny
what
annoying
do we,
pimples.
What do we do about annoying pimples?
Now, are we talking about like the big cystic ones? Like the under the ground
tiny,
ones?
No, tiny, like, let's annoying. Say you get like just some pimples that just like appear overnight and that they're not like a growing thing. You're like, oh, fuck, this hurts.
Okay, so here's what I would say. If you're getting them all the time, you need an acne routine. So even those with mild acne, I can treat with like one or two prescription topicals. If you don't want to start that yet, there's some great over-the-counter options. So you can spot treat with salicylic acid, gels or cleansers, benzoyl peroxide is another great. So salicylic acid is a beta hydroxy acid that gets into oil glands. So it's good at unclogging pores. Benzoyl peroxide is anti-inflammatory and antibacterial. So it's good for like slightly larger breakouts. It's also great, by the way, for chest and back breakouts, benzoyl peroxide. So those are great over-the-counter treatments. Adapalene, which is Differin, is an over-the-counter retinoid. It is the strongest over-the-counter retinoid. Used to be a prescription. It's now over-the-counter. That is a great treatment for mild acne. If you've got...
What if you just like sometimes get like a pimple like three times a month or twice a month?
Right. Like a big cystic thing though?
No, no, like a pimple.
I would literally spot treat with that. Yeah, I would get any either the Differin over the counter or a salicylic acid or a benzoyl peroxide gel and you just spot treat with it. You really should not pop a pimple and here's why. And I know it's so hard because we all do it.
And there's a TV show dedicated to it. So
I love her so much. Sandra Lee, if you are listening, we love you so much at Dr. Pimple Popper. I love you as a person and as a dermatologist. So I do. I really love her. She's a wonderful person. So you shouldn't pop and here's why. Acne is an inflammation of your skin. If you pop, you're adding more inflammation. You're adding insult to injury, and that will cause more hyperpigmentation, and it actually can take longer for it to go away. So I would get salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide, or the adapalene, the Differin, and literally spot it on there. Some people like these acne patches, which are like a little pimple patch that you could put on. I've actually seen some irritation from those, and that can leave you with a more of a dark spot. So I think you have to be careful of those if you're going to use them. But I think the three things I just listed are like the best over-the-counter options.
Okay, we're gonna need them written down.
Write it all down.
Yeah, we can put it on story.
Wait, last thing, makeup. Like
makeup. I love makeup. I love makeup.
Is there certain things that you should avoid when...
Part of why I try to not wear makeup is because I just don't want to like... I don't want it to fuck up my skin.
Okay, so again, I think if you look for things that are oil-free and not... There are certain brands that if you are acne-prone, you should not be using.
Like what?
Don't make me say it.
It's not a news item. Fine.
No, yeah. Don't make me say it. But I think if you look for, because there are so many good ones, if you look for things that are oil-free and non-comedogenic, you're going to be fine. A lot of the mineral makeups or like powder makeups are going to be great. So you can, I think safely, if you're acne prone, you can use those. I love CC creams and BB creams. So I love like letting skin shine through, and I don't think that you need to wear a lot of heavy makeup. But if you use something like a CC cream, which is what I wear every day, I love, by the way, this I will plug because I love them and I have nothing to do with this company. Herborian is a K-beauty brand. They make their CC cream is out of control.
Oh, I've used that.
Herborian.
Herborian.
I used to use that.
It is so good. And it has an ingredient in it called Cica. Cica we see in a lot of other products. So I think L'Oreal maybe make, or yeah, La Roche-Posay. Somebody else makes some Cica. It's pretty well known, and it can help with inflammation, soothe the skin. And I am obsessed with their CC cream. It starts off like white, and then it basically goes to your skin tone. So it's really cool. It lets your like skin shine through. And I think it's part of like, I love how it looks. It makes your skin look amazing and flawless.
All right, I just go get it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I actually order it on... God, you can get it on Sephora, and I'm blanking because there's a place on the Upper East Side that I actually go, and I'm like blanking on the name of it. And I'm so upset that I'm like forgetting it now because they're lovely. They'll go in and do your makeup, and they've like curated some really great brands. That's where I found it. We'll have to put it like on your story or something because I'm just blanking on the name of this store. But anyway, I've gone into that store. That was the first place I found it. And then I just order online from them now.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. So I love their stuff. So I do not think that makeup is inherently bad. I think that you need to look for one. Number one, like we don't want to be covering up our skin. And also if you have acne, I encourage people wear makeup until you feel better. Until I get you clear in 3 months, wear it. The greatest compliment is when someone comes in and they go, I'm barely wearing any makeup right now. And look how great my skin looks. I'm like, done. I've done it. We've done it.
So if you're trying to clear up acne, wearing makeup won't make it worse.
No, and I think that they should because it'll make you feel better. You're self-conscious. When I get one pimple, I feel self-conscious. Imagine having 100 on your face, which is often what I see with my patients.
Make sure
that you wash it off at nighttime.
Yeah, yes. Always. And taking it off with micellar water, you're saying it's good?
It's amazing. Micellar water is a combination of oil and water, and it literally sucks in dirt and bacteria. In my own office, to have my patients take off their makeup before I do cosmetic procedures, I use micellar water. And my favorite wipe, Simple Skincare, makes the most incredible micellar water wipes that are the ones that like don't irritate my skin at all. And it's literally micellar water, and they actually now have compostable wipes, so they're like great for the environment.
I use the bottle and put it on a pad.
You can do that too. That's a
just take it like also the
you would love the wipe.
Yeah.
I love the white.
It's so crazy because like you use a cotton pad and I add a little bit more and you can watch the makeup move as you add more to it. Like it just clears off.
That's
and
what
like,
I'm saying. That's the really cool thing about micellar water. So it literally gets off everything in the most gentle way. So if you have sensitive skin, I'm obsessed with micellar water.
It's been around forever. Yeah. It just suddenly had like this resurgence like in the last couple of years. Yeah. All of a sudden like L'Oreal like made it and all of that. Yeah. Like cauliflower. Much like it. Yeah.
I just want to ask one quick question. I'm so sorry. Yes.
What about like for all our like boyfriends and husbands who don't do anything.
They literally do nothing. And if they also wash their faces with their shampoo. So like even getting them to like use a different like soap.
I got him like under eye cream just to start like.
Okay,
just,
that's
honestly. Doesn't have bags.
Honestly,
no, he feels like he wants that. Oh so
I would really start with gentle cleansing and sunscreen. If I can get a man to wear sunscreen, men often like gel versions of things. They don't like when things like stick in their hair. So you have to be, you know what I mean? And they don't like things that look kind of white or pasty on the skin. I think as women, we're a little bit more like tolerant of those things and some textures. So for
we're
men, I would look
to suffering through shit for beauty.
I mean, I would, right. Or like we're used to layering. Or
people saying beauty is pain.
Yeah. We're just
I can't believe that's like a sight. Like a colloquial
by the way,
accepted sight.
It's not an shouldn't be.
Yeah,
like, I know.
It That's should ridiculous. Not be. You need to find someone who's like, you know, happy to like take care of your skin and wants like be on a team with you to do it.
Love it.
So for men, if they could gently cleanse with like an actual cleanser twice a day and a moisturizer with sunscreen
you
in the morning.
Share the cleanser. Yeah.
And let them share your moisturizer with sunscreen.
A romantic cleanser share.
Yeah.
And then it's still the same stuff. Like my next step would be to get them on like a retinoid at nighttime.
Oh.
I see a number of men for Botox and I'm always like,
couples moisturizer.
Literally.
Oh, we'll do the skincare routine
together.
Yeah.
That's it.
Rusty, if you're listening.
His and hers moisturizer.
Do it
I
together.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love
so
it.
Keep working until like you find something that he
so them having like a beard doesn't like having hair on their doesn't
it
affect.
not only does it not protect them from skin cancer and other things, but it shouldn't stop them from doing a skincare routine.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. We asked a lot of questions.
We did a lot.
This is the best. I think people are going to get so much information from this. Like
you answered
so many questions of mine that I've had my whole life.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Like this is the skin episode of
life. We should just call it the skin episode.
Skincare should be like demystified. It should not be scary. Right. Don't be scared about it. And this is where I think like partner with a dermatologist to talk about it. And then honestly, most things are over the counter. You just have to figure out what you use.
See, that seems simple and obvious, and maybe that was how people functioned in like the 90s, but now everyone's like looking at what people are using on Instagram.
Correct.
And it's
That's
like
right.
they use this blah blah blah. I think there's so much information that people are flooded and confused.
It is very overwhelming.
There's also the status piece of like, do I get the expensive thing?
Right. So you specialize in adult acne, but do you do like body derm
all the time?
Okay, so you do like baseline checks and things like that.
And that's one of the most important things is when I'm telling someone to come in like for their where we're doing acne or Botox, I always say we can not forget about your skin, the rest of your skin. It's just as important. And so I always make sure that we're scheduling our skin checks.
Okay.
It's really
How
critical.
How often should you be going to the dermatologist for body checks?
There is no actually recommendation for that. So I usually tell people from 30 and above, you should be coming every year. But if you have a strong family history of skin cancer, I want to see you earlier or more often. So I'll sometimes, like my skin cancer patients, I see somewhere between every 3 to 6 months. If you haven't had skin cancer and you don't have moles that I'm monitoring, every year is okay. And obviously, if you ever have anything new, different, changing, or growing, go in right away. So within a month of developing something, you want to see your dermatologist.
Okay. Also, a body check, I believe, is covered once a year by your insurance, right?
It's not considered preventative, so it's not the same thing. We are not, as a specialist, we're not considered like going for your pap smear.
But I think I went and I don't remember paying for it.
We submit it through your insurance, but because there's no guideline or recommendation for it, it's not covered. No, it's not a preventative service like going to your primary care doctor. So there still will be, but we submit that way.
Okay,
yeah, we submit it through your insurance.
So we have an audience non-scale win every week. We have an audience member submit something that they feel very proud of that has nothing to do with scale. So, hey, betches. Every week I listen to DST and ask myself, what was my non-scale win for the week? Usually I mull over my week and pick a moment that I'm proud of, but I have to think about it for a minute. So today was so satisfying when I realized in the moment that I was in the middle of my non-scale win. I just turned 32 a couple months ago and started thinking about some of the things I should probably start doing now that I'm most definitely over 30. I've never had a full body mole check before and finally scheduled one about a month ago.
Yay.
Of course, by the time it came around, I could think of a million reasons to cancel the appointment. It is an emergency. I'm busy at work this week. I could have come into work late, etc. But I went to my appointment and everything checked out fine. They want to see me annually now to keep an eye on things, but all is good and I'm so happy I went.
Yay, that's amazing.
Yeah, I actually did the same exact thing recently. Like, I just went in January. I've never had a baseline check.
Yeah.
But I was confused. Like, she just kind of like tapped me a little and like that was it. Like,
okay, well, I have people get completely naked. So yeah, here's the thing. If I don't see it, I didn't see it. So yeah, you are naked. So we don't worry about shaving when you come in. I don't care if your nails are done. I will never remember because I see so many people naked. So don't, like, seriously, don't worry about doing any of that stuff for us. You don't have to pamper. She's bound by HIPAA, guys. You're right, exactly. You don't have to pamper. Just come in. The most important thing is making sure that you don't have skin cancer. So I see everybody naked. I get an insanely obnoxiously bright light all over you, and I look, and then if I'm worried about something, we can always
do biopsies. But you just kind of just like look.
Well, no, I do a lot of touching.
Like, is it just like sometimes, a little tapping?
Okay, I have like, no, I have touching. Okay, so I have a family history of, well, I mean, like, I'm not giving you a massage, but you know.
So they're really just looking. Like, I have a family history of basal cells, so sometimes my dermatologist will like measure one, and like I have a mole like on my boob actually.
Yeah.
So like my dermatologist will measure it every year.
Yes, we measure, we'll take pictures. I use a fancy tool called a dermatoscope, which is kind of like a really fancy magnifier that lets me look at the pigment network in a mole. So I use that the entire time I'm doing my skin check so I can look at moles more closely, analyze what they look like, decide if I want to do a biopsy. I'll often measure and take pictures. And then there's a really great service that you can actually have. If you're somebody who has a ton of moles, you can have your moles photographed and then they're kept in like very safely, obviously, in basically like a bank. And then you go back once a year and they can check for changes. And these are more subtle changes that maybe I wouldn't pick up year to year, but because now you're tracked and you have a record of your moles, it's a great way to keep track of them. That's not for everybody. That's for people who have like hundreds of moles that it's like, hard to keep like track
freckled
of.
Freckled body.
Yeah, if she's just like looking over you, it's probably because she doesn't see anything.
Yeah.
Like, to like really.
But I have a lot of like freckles all over my body like that.
Yeah. The good thing is those all look, you know, like similar.
I just got I think it's like it's like big moles that are like elevated.
It doesn't have to be.
They don't have to be.
It does not have to be. I've diagnosed teeny tiny pinpoint melanomas. So the thing is, this is part of why we do a residency, right? It's why we do 12 extra years of training so we're able to help identify these things. But I always listen to somebody. If they think that a mole is growing, changing, or different, I you know, that is a thing that I definitely listen to. And also I call it your ugly duckling mole. If you have a mole that just doesn't look like your others, if it's your ugly duckling, it can be a little bit darker, a little bit of a different shape, it's maybe changing a little bit, maybe it's a little itchy, that thing needs to come off. So I've diagnosed the teeniest tiniest melanoma just because I'm like, this one just doesn't look exactly like your others.
Do you biopsy before, or you just take it off?
No, we biopsy it and then we submit it. So you should always have a biopsy first to make a diagnosis, and then if you have to go on to have more treatment, you can do that afterwards.
Good.
So I do this like weirdly paranoid thing where like I know where my moles are, like on my back.
Great.
So I will make like an effort to cover those, like especially with sunscreen, or like just that, like that specific little spot.
Is you can get skin cancer. No, because you can get skin cancer anywhere that you have skin. Hence why it's called skin cancer. Which
even
is also,
if it's not like
correct.
I have this like weird thing in my head that the sun is going to like activate it. Like,
no, it's no, totally because moles that you've had, Harry Potter, moles that you've had forever are just as like. That are normal, there's no real higher incidence of them turning into melanoma than normal skin. So you really want to protect everything. And so sunscreen and protective clothing, like I wear rash guards all the time. Those are those cute.
They're chic, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
They're like those little surf shirts. You know what I mean? So I'm always in a rash guard. Like J. Crew makes cute ones. Mott 50 is a great company. Athleta makes them. You're so accessible.
Like in the sun when you go to the beach?
Yeah. Because I'm out with my kids.
What if you just sit under an umbrella?
Nope. Still need protective clothing.
Even under an umbrella?
Yep. The sun reflects off of the ground and off of other things onto you. So you always need protective clothing.
Okay, I just booked a trip to the Bahamas.
Like, what about just like a shirt?
Last night.
A shirt's not... So a normal shirt, like a weave of what you're wearing right now, like a t-shirt, maybe gives you like an SPF of a 4. So it's not enough. So when you get these rash guards, they have what's called UPF in them, and they have like a 50 UPF. So it's really sunscreen.
This when is you go in the sun, what's burn? The minimum SPF that you need to use?
At least a 30, but I go higher. So I would do 50
does
and
it,
above.
Does it actually change? Because there's that myth that like anything above 30 might as well be 30.
Right. So 30 blocks about 97% of the sun's rays, 50 blocks about 98%. There was a study that came out maybe a couple of years ago that looked at a split face trial with SPF 50 versus SPF 100. And what they found is that the people with SPF 50 had more sunburns than those with the 100. So I actually do think that higher is better. Also, almost none of us use the right amount of sunscreen. So that right. SPF number is based on a certain amount of sunscreen. You need a shot glass amount of sunscreen.
Okay. Not per spray.
For what?
To apply to your body every 2 hours. That's 1 ounce. If you look at your sunscreen bottle, it's
like 3 ounces.
Right.
Yeah.
You should go through a bottle of sunscreen a day. Almost no one's doing that.
When you're on the beach.
When you're out. It doesn't have to be on the beach. Incidental sun, you walking around is just as bad. So what I tell people is wear protective clothing. So like here's how I do it. I'll wear a long sleeve shirt and my hat and sunglasses, and then I'll put on shorts if I'm walking around, because then my whole upper body is covered and I just kind of have to worry about like my legs. So I just make it easier if you're out.
Hot.
It actually, you're hot because the sun is beating
down. I'm hot when I'm not wearing a shirt.
I know. You'll actually be cooler than having sun beat down on your skin. Trust me, because I do it.
Interesting. I actually think you're right, because like I used to just tan all the time, and now I'm like, fuck this. I don't even like it.
Just booked a trip to the Bahamas yesterday.
I'm going to Florida next week with my kids, and I guarantee we will all be in rash. We're on the beach, and I will guarantee that we'll all be in hats and rash guards in the whole nine yards.
Hats are good. I'm hats a lover of hats.
Well, if we're talking about aging and sunspots and wrinkles, you need a hat. You have to protect your face.
You need to get a chic hat for Palm Springs.
Yes, you get a good chic hat, and it has to have a big brim. So get like a fabulous like wide brim hat.
Let's go
shopping. I have the hat that I wore in Cancun, but maybe I need another one. Your nonce go in.
Oh my God, you put me on the spot. My nonce go in. I did a really hard workout yesterday.
That's good.
Like
that's
really, really hard, like conditioning workout. And I didn't tell my trainer this, but I was gonna cancel, and I was like, just go.
That's a big deal.
And it was,
for
and it,
you.
And it, and I, because I knew he was gonna give me a hard one. I just like felt it, and it was really difficult conditioning, but I got through.
But you didn't cancel.
Go, girl.
It was great.
Yeah.
How about you?
Okay. These jeans that I'm wearing right now that are like, constricting my intestines at the moment. So I bought these before my bachelorette party, and I couldn't get them on. Like literally, they just like wouldn't go up my legs.
Yeah.
And then this morning, they went up my legs, nice. And I'm wearing them.
But they're constricting.
They're right now.
You're like I cannot breathe, but they're up my legs
right now.
They are on.
I
did that. So after I had my children, I was just so desperate to get back into my clothes, because I'm like, if I have to put on another maternity pant, I'm going to like shoot somebody, that I would just put on my jeans, but I could not zipper them or button them. So, but I was so happy that they got up my leg. And then I would just walk around with like a big tunic on, so that you could not tell that basically like my pants were unzippered.
They're down to your knees.
Yeah, I'm like, everybody's like, wow, you're back in your jeans. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, but
like
dress
they're
on.
Fully open. Yeah,
yeah these yeah, are like, yeah, yeah. They have no stretch. But I really liked them because they have stars
good,
on them,
they
and I
good.
Wanted to not
do
return them.
Do you have a non-scale win?
Honestly, I don't. I must be the most boring person ever. I'm like,
or
I
just
don't.
Something that you did that was you're proud of this week.
I'm a single mom, so I am
she's a lot to be proud of.
I am constantly proud that I can literally get myself and two children dressed and ready in the morning and off
to school.
I think
that is an amazing non-scale win.
So I will just say I kudos to like every mommy out there, and I will just say those of us who are doing it without a partner, it is just, you know, it's one of those things.
How old are your kids?
6 years old.
Wow. Six.
Yeah.
It's 60. No.
60. My dad's my child.
Six. That's cute. That's
six.
A cute
They're
age.
Adorable. Yeah. They're adorable. But the fact that I can get two boys ready and out to school in the morning is
that's
pretty
impressive.
Remarkable. Yeah.
Right. Because they're like, I'm sure they're running around. And
oh
like,
my God. They're lunatics.
Amazing.
You know, Paw Patrol, lunatics. I don't know what kids like.
Not that anymore.
Not anymore. Okay.
Too young.
No, that's like a thing.
That's what your dog likes.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an amazing episode. Everyone go follow Shari at Dr. Shari Marchbein, like March and then B-E-I-N.
Like the end of my last name.
Just Google.
I'm so happy that sunscreen and sun protection is chic right now, because
always.
I need.
It's in
growing
vogue.
Growing up, like it was always like you have to get so tan. I would literally bake.
Same. I've been to tanning salons multiple times.
And I'm like, why was I like so obsessed with that? My face doesn't even fucking tan.
Do not spend ounce on anything else if you're not going to wear sunscreen. Don't wear your vitamin C. Don't do your retin-A. Get on some sunscreen, and don't pay me for Botox if you're not wearing your sunscreen. Tanner. Love it. Do great. It.
I'm
great.
Gonna start
love
doing
it.
That more.
If you want to look tan, go for it. Do it sunless.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
If anybody wanted to be a client or patient, that's what they call it for doctors. How do they find you?
So you can either go on my Instagram at Dr. Sherry Marchbine. You can find me on my website, or I am at Downtown Dermatology in Tribeca.
Love it.
Be all there right. tomorrow.
Literally. We'll come in your Uber on the way home when you leave.
Done.
All right. Thank you.
Wait,
sorry. We have a sign off. Hold on.
We're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Bye.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is hosted by Aileen Cooperman
and Sammy Fishbine.
Our editor is Sean Kilby. Our podcast producers are Mike Coscarelli, Sean Kilby, and Carly Rice.
And artwork is by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram and email your questions and non-scale wins to dst@betches.com.
Betches.